I know it's been 2 years, maybe even 2.5 years by now, since I've seen you all, and for that, forgive me. I wish I could go out there and hug y'all right now. And I know that there are new faces here that don't know who I am, and it needs a little bit of background before you go, why do we have to hear anything she wants to say? The reality is, I'll get to that soon. The reality is, what I have to say today is not easy, and I really don't want to say it. So let's pray right now and ask God to speak through this broken vessel. Awesome God, I love you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this body, how you use them, how you work through them, how you love through them so well. I love them, Lord. And I'm so grateful to be home amongst my people. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me today in such a way that I would communicate your love and your will and your purposes and your word in a beautiful way. And I ask, Papa, that you would give us ears to hear and that we would truly, truly hear what you have to say, that I would step out of the way and you would speak. Lord, be glorified. It's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so as you all know, goodness, I prayed and prayed and prayed that I would not cry. And I'm just standing up here happy to see you all, and I'm crying. So, all right, I cry when I'm happy, I cry when I'm sad. I don't know what's wrong with me. Something's broken. Hopefully broken in a beautiful way. All right, so a little introduction is required. I promise I'll stop crying now. Don't rush up here with Kleenexes. You guys are such great servants. A little introduction. Who am I? My name is Stephanie Williams. I'm a missionary and have been working full-time in the field for the last 10 years, a little bit of all over the place. But I've been working in missions work for about 18 years. I got saved 20 years ago, started doing short-term stuff, and progressively went further and further and longer-term missions. And somebody asked me recently, how did you know? How did you know you're supposed to be a missionary? And I get the deer in the headlights, and I sort of freeze, and I think, I just knew. And they're like, no, like, how did you know? How did you hear the calling? And I'm like, I just knew. And the reality is, when I got saved and I said yes, I actually fell in love. I became one of those ridiculous people that just love Jesus, that they're obnoxious. You know when you fall in love, you see somebody fall in love and they become obnoxious, they just only want to talk about that person, and they only want to spend time with that person, that kind of thing. That was me, so I fell in love. And then I asked, well, how do I love Jesus? And I was told, yeah, well, you go to church, you read the Bible, you pray, you go on mission trips. And I'm like, all right, let's go. And it was just part of the DNA of what you do. You tell people about Jesus, and you tell them here, and you tell them there, and you serve in whatever way he calls. But the reality is, when I stop and I think about it, I honestly feel the pleasure of God when I'm in foreign missions. I feel contented, like I fit. This is what and who I am. So for those of you who don't know, mission trips to China and longer trip to France, and then eventually God told me I needed to train to become a midwife. For those who don't know, a midwife is somebody who delivers babies. And I specifically went and trained to deliver babies in rural settings so that I could serve in a very practical way in Africa. He told me I'd train to be a midwife and then I'd be going to Africa, and I did. I did my training in the Philippines, and then I went to Haiti for a short stint, and then I went to South Sudan for a little longer stint, and now I find myself in Mozambique. And, I love delivering babies. I love serving God in a very practical way in the mission field. I love living overseas and doing what he's called me to do. Now, just because I love it it doesn't mean it's easy. In fact, it's been very difficult, and some years more difficult than others, and I'll get to all of that. But you should know a little bit of my background, but you guys are my sending church. Most of you know my story better than others. And you're following me around and praying for me and making this possible. You guys are doing the work. I just happen to be the one going. You pray me through it and you support me through it. And I love you guys and I thank you. So I was here 2 years ago and I told you what was going on and the excitement and everything. And I was here 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, let's go back in time, I stood before you all and I said, okay, God's asking me to do something really crazy. He's asking me, a midwife, to go and start this medical clinic in Mozambique, and I thought that was ridiculous. Still do. Why would you use a midwife to start a medical clinic in this rural spot in the middle of central Mozambique? That seems outrageous, but at the time I said, well, yes, Lord. I argued with them, of course, and I thought it was ridiculous, but I said, yes, Lord, okay, I'll go. You said, go, I'll go. Even if it sounds ridiculous. But in the back of my mind, there was also this statement, but I've been telling everybody that I'm gonna go and start this clinic, or restart. It was a rundown clinic that hadn't been used for 10 years. So restart this work. And what if I get there and I fail, Lord? What if I get there and I can't do it? What if I'm not good enough? What if I'm a failure? And he said quite clearly, are you doing what I'm telling you to do? I said, yeah. So are you being obedient to the call? Yeah, I guess. Then let me be in charge of the results. He just lifted that burden. Yeah, I had to put my ego aside. What if I do fail? I don't know. What if I fail? Am I still being obedient to what he told me to do? If he is Lord, do I get to dictate the location or the type of work or the results that I get? Or does he? And so, 2 years in, it was rough. You all heard the stories last time I was here. The government, the troubles with this, and more paperwork, and all this kind of stuff. And I shared them, and I continue to share them constantly, because I like transparency and honesty. And I returned last time, after last furlough, really struggling. Like, why is it so hard? Why isn't anything moving? What's blocking this? What's going on? Why can't this move forward? And he would encourage me and encourage me. And every time I would seek his face, he'd say, nope, this is what my will for you. This is what I want for you. And I go, but I'm not seeing the results that I want, Lord. And it's not going fast enough for my American this or that. And he's like, no, this is my will for you. I want you to stay. And I thought, oh, that can't possibly be your will, Lord. I'm not seeing the fruit that I want to see. I'm not seeing the results that I want to see. That can't possibly be your will. And yet it is his will. He gets to determine these things. And I don't feel like a failure, but I definitely have learned lessons of obedience when I don't see the end game. I don't know what's in store. I have no idea, but I can tell you I've seen some victories and I've seen a lot of defeats and a lot of trials in the last couple of years. And he made me a little strong personality, get up, you know, fall down 7 times, get up 8. And I just sit back and I think, okay, well, let's keep going and keep going and keep going. As long as there's an open door, I'm going to keep beating on that door. And I'm going to share with you today some of the amazing things that have happened in the last 2 years since I saw y'all last. Update you on all of that. And I'm going to share with you some of the defeats and the difficulties as well. Why? Because you need to hear both sides. And then We'll get there. But before I do, some of you don't know what Mozambique looked like. You don't know what I'm doing and why I'm trying to do anything there. So I'm going to show you a little short video. You're going to see the young children at the orphanage to which I'm attached. There's a medical clinic attached to the orphanage, and there's Bible school, and there's an elementary school, and there's all kinds of works happening there in that area. And I'm just in charge of getting the medical clinic up and running again. So you're going to see the kids, you're going to see what it's like to live in Mozambique, a typical day, you're going to see some of the babies I've had the privilege of delivering. So yeah, would you please show the video, Dave?
Magnificent Holy Father, I stand in awe of all I see, of all the things you have created, and still you choose to think of me. And who am I that you should suffer? Your very life to set me free. You gave to me, this is my offering, dear Lord. This is my offering to you, God. And I will give you my life, for it's all I have to give, because you gave your life for me. I can know.
you can see it's a beautiful country with full of beautiful people. Who wouldn't want to live there, right? but you can also see there's quite a lot of need. It's very rural. You don't have a lot of access to some things that we take for granted. But again, that's just something you already know. It doesn't need to bear repeating. I guess remembering and recalling this is important. But I love the people there. I love the country. And I truly feel at home there. After I saw you guys last 2 years ago, I went back and had a really difficult year. Nothing but slammed doors, shut doors, a lot of difficulties. And it was rough. And I asked the Lord repeatedly, please release me from this, send me somewhere where I'll be more productive, more satisfied, I get to deliver more babies, da 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 da. And he was asking me to walk in a role where I was quite uncomfortable. It was new. I knew how to deliver babies, but be a hospital administrator? I didn't know anything about that. Have meetings with the Ministry of Health and do it all in Portuguese? Like, what? I had to travel a lot for paperwork. It was just really challenging. And then there's this beautiful break in. I know it was through prayer, but the following year, last year, just doors started opening. Things that I'd been praying for and working with and trying to get done, for instance, getting my degree approved in the country so I could legally work as a midwife in the country, finally came to pass. Finally, it took 2.5 years to get it approved. It's a process that technically should take 2 months. In 2.5 years, I was still struggling to get it in. And then on top of it, just the miracles where he stepped in and helped me. I had to take a test in Portuguese and do a skills test and travel all these ways. And graciously, only by his grace, did that happen. And you know what? I'm the only nurse. I know a lot of missionaries, a lot of expats working in the country. And I'm the only nurse midwife that has that degree that I know of. Some of them have been there for 12, 15 years and they still don't have it. I mean, doctors, one of them, it took him 7 years to get his degree. And another one, he's still working on it. It's 13 years, still doesn't have it. And so I just sit there and I just marvel at the miracle of that. He really did do something beautiful in allowing me to get this degree. And I think, okay, great. And then all of a sudden, we've been praying for the right nurse, and the right nurse showed up. And all of these things are just moving together to get the clinic open. Finally, I have my degree. I no longer had to hire a nurse. But then I got this wonderful, godly nurse. And then Sherry was showing up and was so excited. I mean, I love Sherry. I mean, who knows her? To know Sherry is to love Sherry, right? And so I'm so excited because finally I've been praying for all this help and it's showing up and wow, and then there's a short-termer and just things just boom. All of 2016 just things just started rolling and things that had been blocked for the longest time were finally coming together. And I was excited. And sure it was hard and sure it was difficult and stressful and long days, whatnot. The circumstances aren't always easy, but I was just, okay, this is what it is, and I'm working hard, and let's just keep moving on and keep moving on. I was definitely tired, and definitely doing a role that I didn't quite know how to do and felt uncomfortable in, but still, God will do it through me, and so I'm like, all right, fine. He's telling me to move and doing this, and I'm loving it, and I'm tired, but I'm loving it, that happiness there. But there were still a lot of griefs and a lot of difficulties that I had to face, challenges. And every time I wanted to go to the Lord and complain about them, he would just remind me that this was his will for me. It's crazy to me that it took me 1 year and 2 months to get a driver's license in the country. Here, I had to renew my driver's license. It took me less than 10 minutes. And there, I spent weeks of my life trying to get this simple document, because if I didn't have the document, they could charge me $100 every time they pulled me over for not having the right license. And so just these barriers and these constantly pushing forward and thinking, when is this ever going to get easy? And yet, does God ever say that life is going to be easy? Does he promise us smooth sailing and gentle breezes? No, he doesn't. Jesus, love this story, and I'm going to read it for you guys. Make sure I'm in the right place. I'm constantly encouraged by this story. I'm going to read for you. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Those with Bibles and feel like joining me, go ahead. This is the story of Jesus and ministering with his disciples. And they had just come back from a really long time serving, doing amazing things, healing, preaching. And Jesus speaks to his disciples. And he says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat, as he was, and the other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are dying? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus had told them they're going to the other side. And they go, and they get in the boat. Jesus is with them. And then all of a sudden, storms hit, so big and so ridiculously harsh that they thought, these experienced sailors said, we're gonna die. I don't know about you guys, but that's been my life a lot this year. He said to do it, and I'm doing it, but wow, this storm is big. I'm gonna die. And yet he would rather, even though he gets up and he speaks to the storm, he says, be still, and instantly the storm is still. I think he would rather we learn from this story to be faithful when the storm hits. Be faithful to know that he will calm it. And he will take us to the other side, because that is the promise. And God told me to go to Mozambique, and I went. But he never said, oh, by the way, it's going to be super easy. Have fun. Go sit on a beach. It's going to be super easy. Everything's going to go great. No. But he's been with me through it all. And he's with you all in the storms. And I don't know what kind of storms you guys have been experiencing this last year, 2 years. But I know we're not guaranteed a storm-free life. Maybe it's been health for you guys. Maybe it's been finances. Maybe it's been work relationships or family relationships. Maybe there's been some area in your life that has been extra challenging. The storm has been harsher than normal. Too many changes, very tumultuous, up and down. I just, may my story remind you that Jesus is in the boat with you. And he will calm the storm in his timing. Our job is to believe that he will and have faith. And yeah, sure, it's okay to go to him and say, oh, we're gonna die. But it's better if we go to him and say, Lord, grow my faith so I can sit in this soggy boat until you're ready to calm this storm. Now, I've seen some beautiful things happen in Mozambique. I've seen some really beautiful things happen in Mozambique. Teams come out, construction. I didn't know that when I went to go deliver babies and run this clinic that I would be a superintendent of a construction site. I did not agree to that. My Portuguese vocabulary for construction material is amazing. I go to the stores to buy screwdrivers and wrenches and all this kind of stuff, and I teach the local people how to say the right word in Portuguese, because I've had to do a lot of construction. That's crazy. I thought I was gonna go and deliver babies. No. Let's do some building and painting, and let's put this roof on not once, not twice, but three times. And yet it's still leaking. And let's do this renovation here and make this happen and dig latrines and all this kind of stuff. And it's been interesting. It's been hard work. What have I been doing for the last couple of years? Remodeling. You saw some of the stuff. And it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful building. It's lovely. And the people, when they walk in, they say, wow, is this for us? It's beautiful. And you guys have helped make that possible. And teams have come out, brilliant teams. You guys sent so many wonderful people to come and make that possible. Thank you. I've seen the construction, I love it. The paperwork is, I thought, goodness, for the longest time, just moving forward and moving forward. And got to the point where, like I told you last year, everything just started moving together. And we had the right nurse, and I finally got my degree, and Sherry had arrived, and there was another short-term person, and it just felt like everything was convening to be right, the right timing to open the clinic. But more than anything, it was pressure also that, why don't you just open it already? Where's your faith? Why aren't you doing it now? From some of my leaders. And I argued back and forth, because from the very beginning, and many of you already know this, but I've refused to pay bribes. I've refused to found this work on corruption. And this is a country full of corruption. And I haven't. I've been able to accomplish these things. Yes, it's taken years and years and years to get my degree this, or my license that, or the paperwork here, but there have been no bribes, no corruption. And I truly believe God can do it without a bribe. Is he God or is he not? And so I had all of these, it looked like everything was just lining up for that, but I was missing this one little piece of paper. And my director there, who oversees the whole mission, kept telling me, it's gonna arrive any day, it's gonna arrive any day. We've been waiting for a year, it's gonna arrive any day. And so I stepped out and I said, okay, well, it looks like everything's going forward. Let's open the clinic. And we did. We opened last year. We opened shortly after Sherry arrived, and we were seeing 50 to 100 patients a day, and a lot of malaria cases, some malnutrition, a lot of wound care issues. We were busy. I had a staff of six, and running around, getting medicines, and trying to just keep things up and running. But that one little paper was missing, and I didn't feel good about it, because that one little paper allowed me to buy the medicines legally. And I struggled with wanting it to be open because it's time, but also wanting to do it right, and it wasn't quite right. We're still missing something. And after 3 months of running around like a crazy person and loving every minute of it, but still stressful, trying to get this accomplished, putting in new protocols, getting short-term teams coming to visit from the medical side, staying busy. After 3 months, the Lord started talking louder and louder and louder. And what he was saying was, this isn't right, this isn't legal yet, you don't have that last signature. And I argued with him, no, everything else looks right, you know, how could it not be right? And he's like, you don't have that signature, you're not protected, please, you gotta shut it down. But to shut it down means to disappoint the community. They've been praying for this, and we've been working for this for so long, how could I possibly shut it down? He's like, you gotta shut it down. I'm like, oh, but shutting it down would disappoint my team. They're already putting so much pressure on me anyway. Like, what are you doing, just waiting for a signature? And he's like, are you trying to please man, or are you going to please me? My will for you is to do this legally and right, and you don't have this last piece of paper. Shut it down until you do. I'm like, oh, yes, Lord. Because honestly, no Lord is an oxymoron. If he's Lord, do we get to say no? What does Lord mean? Is it a first name? No, it's a title. A position, a relationship. Master, servant. We have Lord. The opposite is doulos, doulio, or however you say it in Greek. I did not study Greek. I speak other languages, just not that one. So forgive me on that, but it means a bondservant. To be a servant and have a Lord. And we sing it all the time. We pray it all the time. But do we really understand what we're saying when we say Lord? Master? Do we really? It's a title. Our King of Kings, and we are his humble, hopefully humble, servants. And it's inconsistent to say no, Lord. It's rebellious, treacherous, traitor, treason. And so when he tells us to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, come on, I've been coming, working, trying to get this clinic open, I finally, everything, there's just missing signature, what's the big deal, Lord? And he said, no, I want you to close it down. But I've told everyone it's open. He's like, are you going to obey me? Or are you going to argue some more? I said, I'm sorry, I think I'll obey you now. because I've never been disappointed, never. And so he protected me, and he told me to close it down. And I went against everybody. And it looked confusing. But at the time, it was to close it down for a short time, finally get the lawyers involved and go another route. I hadn't been working with some of the Mozambican lawyers, and it was finally time. Things were just delaying ridiculously. And I went and spoke with them, and they said, yeah, this is super easy. We do this all the time. This is our specialty. 2 weeks, well, it should only take 1 week, but since we're in Mozambique, it'll take 2 weeks to finish up all this paperwork. Because it turns out when I finally went to the lawyers, I was missing more than just one signature. I was missing a lot more. And I was grateful that God had protected me, told me to close it down, because there would have been some amazing fines. I might have been able to be wiped out completely in this work and kicked out of the country if I'd been trying to open a clinic illegally. And I had no clue at the time. It's really difficult to get information there, and they just keep changing it and moving the goalposts and all that kind of stuff. And so finally I got these lawyers involved. 2 weeks, super, super easy. And I said to my staff, I said, okay, no problem. God told me we have to close because we're missing this piece of paper, but that's okay. Lawyers assuring me it's 2 weeks max, and then we'll open up next month. And that was June of last year. And we're still not open. We still don't have the signature. Still blocked. And I laugh when I think of all of the different obstacles and blocks that have been going on, and I think, this is getting ridiculous, Lord. There just seems more and more hindrances. What's happening? And the government officials are looking for incentive, and I can't pay that. I can't do that. No. My Lord said that he will do it, and if not, if he's not going to do it, do I really want to be there? If God's not going to open this door, do I really want to beat it down? And so I just sat there and we prayed. We still, of course, took care of our chronically ill patients, those with epilepsy and those with special needs. And of course, we were still taking care of the orphans, because the clinic's attached to the orphans and those within the community that have a relationship. But we weren't open for 100 patients a day again. And I laid everyone off and prayed. And I asked you all to pray. And I was grateful for that lesson of obedience, even when it doesn't make sense, even when I'm confused about it all. I was grateful for that lesson because He is Lord, and what He wants is what's best. But I didn't also know what was going to be coming down the line and what was happening in the spiritual realm around us. And even now, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it. And he'd been telling me in a number of ways, in a lot of dreams, that something tumultuous was coming, that a really big wave was on its way, that this storm was going to be more chaotic than other storms in the past. And I was grateful for that preparation because I needed it. I needed to get my heart right and be prepared for that. And during that season of preparation, He just kept giving me dreams, prophetic dreams, and perhaps He speaks to you guys in that same way. I know He definitely speaks to His people in a number of ways. And for whatever reason, this last year has been quite a lot of prophetic dreams. And one of the dreams that really stands out to me, probably because I'm a midwife, I was delivering a baby. And the mother had just given birth, and I'm holding the baby and looking at the baby. And it's that millisecond right before the first breath. And God paused everything and spoke, will this baby live or will this baby not? Will this baby breathe? And it was a sense of anticipation and waiting. And at the time, I really couldn't figure it out because I didn't know what was coming down the pipeline. But I now understand it's about the mission. It's about the clinic and specifically because I have been carrying this baby, gestating longer than most elephants, for 4 years now. And the building is beautiful. We finally sorted out the water system. Sure, there's still leaks in the roof, but that can still be worked on. The paperwork, everything but one last inspection is needed. One last signature. And everything is legal and final and beautiful. And I've been waiting months, looking down at this baby, saying, will it breathe? Will it live? Or will this be a stillbirth? I don't know. But I know whatever happens, it will be His perfect will. And I think, oh, but what if it's a failure? It's not a failure. We already went over that. If He said to do it, do it. He gives life. And He takes it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and He takes away. And the work He's done in my heart in the last 4 years in Mozambique has been tremendous. The lessons I've had to learn, I'm grateful for. But I don't know if the clinic's going to live or not. I don't know if this work is going to live or not. I don't know what His plans are. But can I hold out like Moses? Not Moses, sorry. Abraham, forgive me. Can I walk my child up to Mount Moriah and offer my child on this altar? My spiritual child, my birth of this clinic, this work that I've invested my life in. Will He provide a substitute? I don't know. It's not my job to know. It's my job to obey. And He tells us, if you love me, you will obey my commands. A command to go to all the nations. If he's calling you and you resist, you're missing out on a blessing. And you're telling him you don't love him. But what if it's a command to love that really prickly person you share the bed in with, I don't know, or the really difficult neighbor, or do a job that doesn't fit you, or your skills, or your comfort level, or to serve in a way that doesn't seem right, that you don't feel like you're seeing the fruit? What if he's telling you to do something meaningless in your eyes for the next 4 years? What if he's telling you to do something really difficult and really tiresome that seems pretty futile? Are you going to do it? Are you going to say, yes, Lord? I hope. I pray. I haven't gotten it right these last 4 years. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. We all are. And I'm not beating you guys down. I'm trying to encourage you. But this is a discouraging season for me. So why would I tell you stories of nothing but praise and roses and happy puppies licking your face when it's really been a road of potholes, crazy drivers that knock you off the road? Though it's really been a really challenging season. This is the reality of the work that I do. And I tell you because I know you guys pray. And I need your prayers. That big storm, that big wave that he told me hit in October of last year. And those that follow our adventures on Facebook or get my newsletter, not a lot was said, not a lot was explained. And at the time, I didn't know how to explain or say what was going on. All I knew is that I needed your prayers, and you guys, you did. You prayed for us, and I am so grateful for that. But everything got rattled and still is rattling. We're still shaken from what happened in October of last year. And the simple truth is there was moral failure in the leadership of the work there that has made it impossible for me to stay. I can't continue working there, and I can't extract the clinic and the work that has been done both physically and relationally with the Ministry of Health there. I can't extract it from them, so the only option is to wait and see if those that have fallen will repent and make it right. And if they don't, I don't know what the future will hold, but I know who holds my future. And I'm grateful for that. So what's going to happen with the work? Will the work live? Will the work die? I don't know. But I desperately need your prayers. And this is a season of transitions. And I would love to see this baby live and breathe and grow. I would love to see this vision fulfilled. I'd love to look back at this time and say, wow, God worked this out for good, as he does all things. But maybe it is his will that things will not move forward. But it won't mean that we'll stop moving forward. We'll continue moving forward just in a new spot, in a new way, and take these lessons with us. I need your prayers. Sherry needs your prayers. The work there, we need your prayers. We're one inspection and signature away from opening. There's nothing more that we can do but wait. And we need those that are choosing godlessness over godliness to step down and make a way for God to burn this and bring up beauty from these ashes. Resurrect this, bring life as he does all other things. What's fascinating to me is God knew this was coming. Just as he knew when he told his disciples in Mark to get in the boat and that they were going to the other side, Jesus knew there was a storm on its way. This hasn't been a surprise for God. And we shouldn't be surprised when we walk through trials and difficulties either. He's been with us in the boat. He's with us still. And I want and pray and ask that you would as well, that he would, in his perfect timing, calm this storm. May his will be done. I have, of course, years and years of stories, and I'm sure, especially those who have been so faithful to give and to pray for the work there, so deeply invested in what's happening there, and so beloved and cherished by me, I'm sure you guys have questions. Some of them I can answer, some of them I can't yet, but I would love to share with you some more on Wednesday. I know not everyone can because it's the middle of the day, but those that can join us, please come. I just want to connect with you all again. I don't know if I'll be returning to Mozambique at the end of the month like planned, or if that will be delayed, but I will tell you he has clearly told me that it's he's asking me to rest for 6 months. And so I'm going to be entering in a season of rest. And I don't know where that is, so pray for me in that. Come and hear more of what's happening on Wednesday. If your heart's stirred to pray for us and want to know more details, come, pray for us. Come and hear more if you're ready. But that's all I had to share with you this morning. I really need you guys to know how much I love you and how grateful I am to be back. Remember that if he's Lord, the only answer we can say is yes. Even if it means a stillbirth. I'm going to pray. Please join me.